Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another show, episode number 29, recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave. I am Crew Chief Tony, along with the Professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, sir?
Another good race.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. We took a week off, kind of,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, we were over on the PETM podcast.
We were the guests for a change.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
So we had a blast.
That was good. And a week before that, Natalie Decker, up-and-coming ARCA racer, was on the show. Lots of downloads. We had a big goal.
We did. We finally hit our 10,000th download, and we're actually at over 10,100 now in 28 shows. We got over 600 last week.
Started a few months ago.
Yeah, we gave away a cool prize on Periscope a little bit ago.
We did.
So yeah, no, it's been awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. But speaking of awesome, we have a guest. It just kind of came together here over the last couple days. On the other end of the line, we have J.J. Yaley. He's driving at Eldora. He's the number 83 FR8Auctions.com Chevy for Cop Motorsports. And he's also the Xfinity driver for the number 14 Superior Essex Toyota for TriStar Motorsports. J.J., you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
All right.
Welcome.
So J.J., I got to tell you, we'll go way back. I've been following you since, like, the pre-USAC days. All right, so I'm a fan. I'm older than both of you guys, but I'll admit it.
He's a JJ guy.
I am a JJ guy. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, here's a question that I've always wanted to ask, and I'll finally get the opportunity to ask. Where does JJ come from? Because I don't see a J in your name anywhere.
No, it's just a fancy stage name. My real name is Christopher.
Yeah.
Christopher was given at birth, and the shortest version of the story is at birth, my dad wanted me to be Anthony Joseph after A.J. Foyt. My mom wanted Shawn Michael or something along those lines, and so they couldn't agree. I mean, you'd figure, hey, you had 9 months to get this planned out to give me a name. You know, my dad, he raced midgets for a number of years, so, you know, apparently that wasn't of any importance at any time, so... JJ stands for Jimmy Jack, which obviously my dad's name is Jack, and what most likely he is as close to an uncle as I'll probably ever have is Jimmy, and they both took turns going and see my mom while I was in labor. I was a cesarean, and in 1976, I guess, it was just important to go back out in the waiting room and have a beer as it was to do anything else. So they took turns while I joined this world, and I was given the initials before they settled on Christopher of all names. So definitely a unique situation, which, you know, I mean, obviously I'm a father now, and it just kind of dumbfounded that it was that difficult to come up with a name, but it is what it is. And
that's one cool story I got to tell you.
And you know what's even cooler is I've waited over 20 years to ask him this question.
That's awesome.
So thank you so much for finally.
All right, that's it. Thanks for joining.
No, that's going to wrap up the show. No, that's awesome. No, I followed you, like I said, pre-USAC days and coming through. And, you know, there's a couple facts that I want to throw out there. Anybody knows this about J.J. Yaley, but he won the USAC Triple Crown. And there's only one other person to do that. Who was that other person, J.J.?
Yeah, that was Mr. Anthony Stewart.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, I've heard of him.
I've heard that name once or twice.
And Clyde would be, Tony Stewart, which, I will always have this over him. The year that he was able to win the Triple Crown, he did it by winning 14 races. When I did it in 2003, I won 24 races, which had broke a record that was set by A.J. Foyt, I believe, in 1961. So I always hold that over him as much as possible. Hey, you know, I won almost twice as many races than you did. But then he always rebuttals with, an IRL championship, a couple Sprint Cup championships, which,
Details. Like,
yeah,
that's details.
Tony Stewart, you bastard. But no, I mean, you know, obviously he's a super, super good guy. You know, probably one of the best race car drivers ever born. Could drive anything with wheels on it. And, you know, it was funny because the year that I won the Triple Crown, I was driving a sprint car team I'd actually put together for Tony. And he co-owned the Silver Crown car with Bob East that I was able to get that done with. So, you know, he had a lot to do with me being able to put that fantastic year together in 2003, mostly because he stayed away. His dad Nelson was the team manager, and Nelson's super, super nice guy, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. You know, he managed me, Corey Cruzman, and George Schneider with those three teams that year. And like I said, we very seldom ever saw Tony, which was good because it seemed like anytime he showed up, he just created more turmoil. So it was definitely a career making year. You know, even though I'd won two championships prior to that, just doing it in the fashion that it was done in.
Yeah, no, and you know, you hit on something earlier there, and cause, so I was thinking about this on the way here. I didn't even tell Brandon this yet. So there's guys that you think of that no matter what you put them in, if it's got a steering wheel and a gas pedal, they're fast. And they've driven everything, and they've won in everything, and they're fast in everything. So here's my list. You're on that list, J.J. Yaley. I would put Tony Stewart in there. I would put Mr. Andretti in there. And I would put Robbie Gordon in there. Who's on your list, JJ?
Well, I mean, obviously, Tony's definitely a guy that could get it done. You know, and you look at, like, a newer list, and obviously, you go back in the day to the heroes of, you know, A.J. Foyt, Andretti, Judd Larson. I mean, there's, you know, Lloyd Ruby. I mean, you could sit there and think of all of the guys who did it back when they were men, right? So open-face helmet, short-sleeve shirt, no power steering. You know, we're literally
and probably had a camel hanging out of their mouth while they were doing it.
Absolutely. It seemed like, you know, a driver, you know, gave his life for what he loved virtually every weekend. And, you know, you think about the safety things that we have now that we're all a bunch of sissies. But, you know, you look at a guy like Kyle Larson, obviously he's kind of taken over the NASCAR world. But, yeah, he can go jump in a sprint car, wing sprint car and go win against the World of Outlaws, All-Stars, doesn't matter. So, I mean, he's definitely a guy that's versatile in any kind of race car. You know, I don't know how many other cars he's ever had the ambition to drive, if it was a, you know, a big block modified or, you know, maybe an Indy car at some point. But, you know, I think those drivers are becoming less and less just for the fact of, you know, it takes a certain type of excitement level as a race car driver and determination to just go get behind the wheel, just pure love. And, you know, as our world continues to evolve, it seems like, you know, there's a lot more politics. It becomes more about the business side of it versus just getting behind the wheel and going and having fun and driving a race car. So
I think that's maybe why some of these guys like Kyle Larson, you know, like to go and do that because, like you said, you know, it's becoming somewhat of a political sport. And I think that's increasing, you know, as sponsorship dollars become more and more hard to get in social media and all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's why these guys like to go and jump in a sprint car on a Wednesday night, is because they know that's what it is. It's just getting behind the wheel and going and racing a car.
Well, I think absolutely. But, I mean, it still comes down from whatever that drive is from inside. You know, obviously Jeff Gordon cut his teeth in midget sprint cars, started at a very young age, you know, created that path for guys like myself to make it to this level. But, you know, once he became a cup champion or even going through, you know, back then what would have been the Busch series or even before that, you know, he stopped doing that because, again, it turned into business, turned into focus where, you know, Tony Stewart, as he continued that, that was his love. I mean, that's what he does now. I mean, obviously he owns the All-Stars, he owns Eldora. He races whenever he can. You know, obviously I think he's kept his dirt schedule a little bit more limited than what he probably planned last year. And it's mainly because I think, you know, the competition level is so high everywhere you go that, you know, it takes a lot out of you. And he was looking more for, hey, I'm going to go race and have some fun, but I also want to just kind of take it easy as much as possible too. So it's really cool still to be able to see him wear so many different hats. You know, if it's a team owner on Sunday at a NASCAR event, or, you know, bolting the helmet back on to go run. I think he ran fifth or sixth at Knoxville last week. So, you know, it just it's cool when drivers continue to be racers and they'll be that for their entire lives.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, yeah, so speaking of Eldora, we're going to be there next week and we want to talk to you a little bit about that. But first, let's talk about 2017 and JJ Yaley. You've got a little bit of everything going on. You've done a couple truck rides. I know Daytona you ran and a couple other trucks, full-time Xfinity ride, and you've even ran a couple cup races. So what's the rest of 2017 shaping up like for you?
Oh, well, so far it's been a pretty good 2017 for us. You know, obviously we have a new sponsor, Superior Essex, and you know, I believe I'm 11 points now out of what would be the final chase berth for the Xfinity Series, which, you know, considering, you know, we had a pretty much a last place finish at Michigan, or we would be in that spot. But, you know, it's going to be tough, but we're continuing to persevere through that. And like you said, I've run three Sprint Cup or Monster Cup Energy races this year, with my fourth and final for right now being Indianapolis coming up. And then filling in here and there for Kopp Motorsports, which is a brand new truck team. Team owner DJ Kopp, super nice guy. Just trying to help him kind of grow a program. And, you know, he needed some experience behind the wheel. And again, it was an opportunity to go spend some more time for myself just to drive. So, you know, we've had a 15th place finish at Charlotte. We were 17th last week in Kentucky. And, you know, as he continues to impress sponsors, bring more money, and obviously it's going to allow him to buy better equipment and, you know, give me the opportunity to go be more competitive. But, you know, either way, it's always good to A, help out a friend in that type of situation, grow a program, use my experience and try to and be a part of something like that. So, you know, it's, you know, again, love being behind the wheel of a race car. Unfortunately, because I haven't been running, the full Monster Cup Series, I'm usually flying back home on Saturdays, where when I was cup racing, it allowed me to go, you know, sneak in a dirt sprint car mid race here and there. So, you know, it takes its toll on me, but hopefully I'll be able to squeeze a couple in before the end of the year.
Well, you know, you mentioned being in that the cut line for the Xfinity. Tony and I have been talking about this for the last few weeks now. You know, with a lot of the cup guys winning the Xfinity races, there's not a ton of stage points that have been earned by the Xfinity regulars. You know, so I think when we get to, you know, the last five to six to go there, it's going to be anybody's game. And then anyone that gets in and makes the playoffs, it's going to be anybody's game. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What's your thought on the stage racing and all that?
Well, I think that the adding of the stage racing has been, you know, a really good thing. It's definitely been a bonus for what NASCAR has done between last year and this year. And, you know, the only drawback is obviously the speedway races, because it creates that opportunity where guys are really pushing harder than they would in normal circumstances at that point in the race, which has seemed to create a lot more accidents than what we usually see. So now we have two or three big ones instead of just one. But the level of racing is ramped up, and you know, just because, you know, the strategies have changed, it's definitely made racing better across the board. You know, they tried the time clock with the Truck Series, which, you know, obviously didn't work out that well. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of it. You know, we've been able to collect a few points here and there. You know, for a small team like TriStar Motorsports, where we don't have cup affiliation, cup technology, you know, it does make it a little bit tougher, and it is a disadvantage for our team, because, you know, we are able to run consistent. You know, we are a team that's capable of running from 10th to 15th on a weekly basis. You know, if we hit the setup and we're right on and we don't have any problems, we're going to run really well. You know, this past week we had a really good race car. Obviously the 24th or 25th place finish that I got didn't show that, because we had some serious issues on pit road. We got caught, man over the wall too soon, put us at the tail of the field, cut a tire down, getting into a car on the restart that dropped us down an extra two laps. And, you know, we were just never able to rebound from that, had a loose wheel. So, you know, we obviously can't afford to have weekends like that if we're going to make the chase. But because of the extra bonus points, that's allowing some of those teams to get farther away from us than they usually would. So, you know, we'll continue to use strategy whenever we can to try to pick up some extra points. But again, we have to pride ourselves on being consistent on a week-in, week-out basis.
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know, something that you just hit on right there, talking about lug nuts. So it drives me crazy all the time. Why is NASCAR so tough on their penalties on lug nuts. I mean, I understand they want, you know, safety, but I mean, the crew chief wasn't over the wall. The crew chief didn't touch the gun. You know, I mean, I thought Joe Gibbs was going to call me in a second. You know, I'm like, I'm blocking his number because I'm not coming in and crew chiefing for the week. You know, they just seem severe to me. But I don't know. But you know, what's the talk in the garage? What's your team feel?
Well, I mean, you know, it was a problem that was compounded by NASCAR lifting the rule for lug nuts. You know, when they said, hey, you know, we're going to leave it up to teams to figure that out. You're going to monitor that on your own. You know, because of that, now all of a sudden your bigger teams that had the resources, technology, start looking into, you know, what can they get away with doing four lug nuts? Is it possible to do three lug nuts for just a small amount of laps? And because of that, we started having some loose wheels and started having some failures. And then it was like, okay, now what do we do? Because we've made a rule saying we don't need a rule, but now we have to make a rule because we've given, you know, basically anytime you give any team any kind of slack for competition, they're going to take everything that they can plus more.
Sure.
And because of that, they created a problem where, you know, again, these teams are trying to take three lug nuts. And when you're looking at the loads that some of these cars see on the right front, you know, in a place like even Michigan, where you're going 215 miles an hour to turn one, there's a problem. So yeah. Then they had to come back with another rule saying, okay, you have to have all your lug nuts on. And if you don't, it's going to be this big a fine. And you have to make the fine large enough that the teams feel that. Because if it's, hey, if we only need four lug nuts and it's a $5,000 fine and that's the only fine we get, and because we gain two spots on pit road by only doing four lug nuts, we win the race. Dude, we'll kick in $5,000 all day long. So they had to make the penalties harsh enough to where a crew chief can't be missed, or that monetary amount is so severe that it's not worth the risk. So, you know, they were kind of forced into creating another rule because teams took full advantage of some of the changes that happened in NASCAR.
So now they've almost got to take it too far to prove their point.
Exactly.
So your explanation is probably, that's the best explanation we've got all year.
Yeah. 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 No, that's really good. I mean, I'm sure NASCAR is, you know, NASCAR takes a lot of flack from, you know, their one extreme to the other. But I think, you know, I remember when they came out with the rule of self-policing, you know, every other driver that you'd hear on the radio, it's, I got a loose wheel, or, you know, they felt like a tire was going down or something
I mean, a vibration's pretty easy to find at 215 miles an hour.
You're going to feel something.
It's a little amplified, right?
Well, and the other issue you run into, so, you know, like this past weekend, I probably had three lug nuts tight, two were loose, and then because they're on the right front, it creates a vibration. Not only does it create a vibration, it now disturbs the right front tire enough that it gives up grip. So now the car is 0.3 seconds slower, and it has a vibration. So it's almost a situation where you can't even fake your way through it necessarily because you lose so much performance because, again, the loads are so high that it just costs you. So, you know, until NASCAR gets to the point, which, you know, they've worked their way through, of really severely penalizing teams for cheating, they're always going to take advantage of it. And, sure. You know, I mean, I think you can look at the teams now in the Cup Series that are more competitive than they used to be. And I'm pretty for certain that they've found some gray areas. And I mean, you know, obviously not a whistleblower by any means, but the things that you hear that go on in the garage and with different teams, they're certainly not legal. And it creates a lot more speed differences between the front of the field and the back of the field, which obviously is not a good thing from a competition. I think this year's racing has been fantastic across the board. If it's been the Cup Series, the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, but because of the way they allow some of these rules to go through, it does separate the field a lot more than it probably should be. But again, that comes down to resources versus not having resources.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And a couple things that, you know, I've said for a long time on our show is, you know, because I was a crew chief at one time. I'm a firm believer. There's not a legal car on the track.
Yeah. No. If you can make it through tech the first time, you are going to get beat.
I actually had a team owner that would tell me that if you go through tech the first time, you're not doing your job. That's what he told me. Right?
I love it. So.
Which is the truth, unfortunately. But, yeah. I mean, again, that's no different. I mean, that hasn't changed, right? So if that goes back to the 2000s, if you go back into the 90s, you go back in the 80s, I mean, the guy who was able to get through tech with the most that wasn't legal was usually the team that won. And,
right, sure.
You know, that hasn't changed. I don't think it'll ever change. It's just a matter of how tight NASCAR is able to keep those teams in that box versus letting them out loose.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So one other thing that we've been talking about, and this goes back to like a small thing, but it's costing big. Why it seems like this year, maybe it's the car design, the aero package, I'm really not sure. Why are we seeing so many cars this year battery issues? Are they not charging? Are they not? I mean, what? I mean, that's a pretty nominal fee item to lose a race over.
Well, unfortunately, anymore the batteries are very, very expensive.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it, for a while, or at least the beginning of the year, and I don't know if it's still, you know, the problem or if they've gotten it rectified, is because these cars across the board run so low, and engineers and crew chiefs and teams have figured out how to keep those cars, you know, virtually dragging the racetrack all the way around. It does not let any air underneath the car. So now that increases the temperatures on the engine, the interior of the car, and the driver. And now you're looking for different ways to try to cool that. So I think for a while, a lot of that was alternator issues. And, you know, obviously, even on alternator batteries, only last so long. You know, the other thing is weight. You know, as you continue to try to make the car as light as possible, so you can put that weight where you want it, to where it's most favorably distributed in the car, you're going to see more failures, because it's just, even though it's expensive and it's, you know, a very nice piece, you're still going to see failure, just because, you know, sometimes the application isn't the same as if you use something that, you know, we might have used 5 years ago that was heavier and more durable.
Yeah. Wow. That's, God, the lessons here are incredible. I love it. Like,
again,
our listeners are going to love this. Like, we have some diehard fans, and, you know, they know their stuff, and that this is, I can't wait to upload this tomorrow for everyone to hear.
But
this.
That's been the answer that I've gotten recently, is that there's no air. There's, I mean, you're melting stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
and even from the interior of the car, I mean, you look at racetracks like Phoenix, for example, and I remember watching Dale Jr. They have a, you know, they were checking the temperature on his headrest, and Phoenix was unseasonably hot in the spring. I think it was, which obviously isn't normal Phoenix weather, but still pretty hot. You know, the interior of that car was 137 degrees.
Wow.
That is, you know, and that's very high. So, I mean, if you obviously get closer to the transmission and that tunnel to your right,
sure,
your feet, the footboard, you know, that temperature is only going to go up. The exhaust basically runs right underneath the driver. So at 140 degrees, that is very tough to do. It's very tough to stay focused on. But the other thing, the other side of that is, because of the aero side of our sport, which has become very dominant, you know, you can get away with not running an extra hose on the right side aqueduct to bring air into the car, because you have more side force, you have more downforce. So the driver suffers, because the performance of the race car is going to be better without it. So again, until NASCAR mandates that X amount of hoses or X amount of opening is in the right side to bring cool air into the car, to the electrical equipment that's mounted on the dash, the ECU, you know, our coil boxes in the Xfinity series, you know, we're going to continue to struggle through this. So there's things that NASCAR has to implement to force the teams to do, to try to cool the cars down for the drivers and, you know, the cars themselves.
Yeah, and I understand that, you know, and I guess people don't understand too. I mean, there's more and more and more demand on the electrical system as these cars, you know, if you look back 10 years, right?
Sure.
I mean,
you got a digital dash now.
Everything, you know? Everything. And the amount, I mean, you're talking like enough like for a welder. I mean, it needs a lot of power to run that car.
Certainly.
You know, all right, but so I'm going to ask this. So, I mean, this was a thing that we did one time way back in the 90s on Trans Am car. We put the alternator on the rear axle housing and ran a belt off the drive shaft. Possible? Not possible? Legal?
Oh, I think it's probably, I mean, it's certainly possible. I don't know that it's necessarily the issue of the alternator, again, because we're looking for weight and everything else we can possibly do. I think the alternators are probably reduced in size by 50% from even when I started in this sport 13 years ago. So again, it goes down to performance, weight, and size, that we keep looking for smaller and lighter and asking for more performance out of it. And again, you'll see a little bit more failure out of it. Now, you know, your heavier funded teams, you know, they run that alternator once and then it's completely rebuilt. Your smaller teams that have half the budget, you know, they have to start stretching some of those parts. And then obviously that's when you start seeing more failures. Sure. Just because the fact of they've got a little bit more life on them than what they're capable of.
Well, awesome.
All right. So let's talk some dirt racing in Eldora. So we are going to be at Eldora next week. We went last year. We made the trip down from the Motor City and had a blast and said we had to go back. Talk to us a little bit about your dirt track and what makes Eldora so special.
Well, this will be my first time, obviously, being on dirt in a truck. And I've watched the races. I know that it's going to be nowhere near as fun as I've ever had at Eldora in either a midget sprint car, Silver Crown. So it'll be a new challenge, I guess, you know, going with, again, a smaller team, working through the setup and trying to get an idea of what we need, you know, and obviously taking it in stride through the race. You know, you've seen how hard the walls are at Eldora and how much damage can be done to those trucks there. So, you know, we'll just kind of have to work our way up through speed and see how it goes, but definitely excited about going back to Eldora. You know, it's definitely one of my three favorite dirt tracks. You know, the fans that go there are phenomenal. It's just a great facility. And, you know, it's always been one of the more famous dirt tracks that we had in the country, you know, between that and Knoxville and a place like Williams Grove. Obviously had Manzanita for a long time before it closed down. So just the fact I get to go back and run, waiting on a phone call, hopefully anytime here tonight or tomorrow, about the possibility of getting into a big block and being able to pull a double duty.
Oh,
will also be a lot of fun. So
I cannot,
you know,
wait for the big blocks, man. I fell in love with those cars last year.
Yeah, they are, you know, they're pretty amazing cars. Also, you know, for as much as they weigh and the way they handle and the things they do to them. I mean, you know, I've run the big blocks on quarter mile tracks. I've run them at the mile at Syracuse, and you know, they're a blast to drive. So hopefully, like I said, that'll work out, and I can get behind both of them. I wish they threw an open wheel car in there for the maybe like a little exhibition, but. I don't know if I could talk Tony into that. So,
well, I mean, they're open Monday. There's no race on Monday. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would definitely be good. I mean, I'm sure there's probably enough time to squeeze them in there at some point. But, you know, I'm sure between everything else I have going on next week, you know, it'd be pretty good to run four series. And you never know. I might be able to slide out of Indianapolis Motor Speedway just in time to go make it to Bloomington to go run a non-wing sprint car, maybe even put the bill on Saturday night. So keeping my options open, and
That's what I'm talking about. So I don't know many people know this. Jet, you ran the Indy 500.
Correct. 1998, I was the youngest driver at the time to run the Indianapolis 500. I qualified 13th and finished 9th. So it was definitely an eye-opening experience. You know,
I think it was. What was the thing? What was the biggest, you know, the oh my God moment that you had there? Because there had to be a few, right? I'm thinking about, you know, I mean, rookie week, and it's a month-long deal.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Well, I was the guy who spun going into turn one at the start, so that was a pretty big old moment for me. You know, and again, just being, you know, obviously, Indy was my second time ever being in Indy car. I think Indianapolis 500 was literally the sixth time I'd ever raced on pavement. So, you know, that was just like a whole new ball of wax. And pre green flag, you were supposed to lean the engine down to get up to temperature, which I didn't know. So when we came to green, it was a year that we didn't throw the green till the start finish line. Luckily for me, or I would have impaled the outside wall heavily. But they threw the green late, and the car just wouldn't accelerate well. As we went into turn one, Eddie Cheever tried to pass me on the outside, and he just kept coming down. He clipped my right front tire, and I just did a real slow spin and luckily didn't hit anything. Unfortunately, I did lose two laps sitting on the apron before they were able to pull start me back up, or I would have finished fifth. So, you know, the damned if you do, damned if you don't. But regardless, I was able to get back on the track, stay out of trouble. Had a good finish, and like I said, I finished ninth. So, being at the racetrack and the fans that are there are just, you know, I mean, like carb day, just the different things that happen for that race. And, you know, I'm sure the people that were able to see last year's event for the 100th running knew exactly what it might have been back in the heyday when, you know, the city just went nuts for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It was a, you know, capacity crowd, the snake pit was going, there's parties going. And, you know, I mean, it's just a racing town. And, you know, as they've continued to rejuvenate the area around the speedway, you know, I think it'll bring that excitement level back to what it maybe used to be. So, you know, with the changes that NASCAR's made, I'm hoping that the Xfinity race is a good one. And then, like I said, we'll see what happens on Sunday in the Cup car.
Nice.
Cool.
No, that's cool. So, all right. So you've driven all these cars. Still drive all these cars, winged, not winged, trucks, dirt, pavement. Is there anything on your list you want to drive? Is there anything left?
No, I think I've pretty much got them all covered for the ones that I want to drive. Yeah. It's just
no monster. You're not going to drive a monster truck or the Gravedigger like that, or
no, I don't have the back to drive a monster truck. That would probably put me down the hospital. But no, I would just like to be able to maybe run a little bit more of some of the other vehicles. But like I said, the schedule stays very, very tough. And, you know, just try to spend as much time with my family as possible. And obviously sometimes you have to make the choice. Is that going to go race a dirt car somewhere or watch your daughter grow up and spend time with your family? Sure, so, you know, obviously my priorities have changed over the years. And, you know, that's something I missed out a fair amount in my early years in NASCAR that I definitely don't want to miss out moving forward.
Sure.
And we understand that.
Absolutely.
Respect that for sure.
Hey, so hopefully we can come by and see you during the driver meeting or the when they let the fans come through at Eldora. We definitely want to come say hi to you if we get the opportunity. And
absolutely.
Do you want to hit your sponsors here real quick?
Sure. Yeah. Well, for the Truck Series race, we're going to have a Freight Auctions come on board for their second race. Definitely excited about having Marcus Brill and his group come on board. And then we'll have the Superior Essex and LeGrand for the Xfinity Series, as well as XL Construction in the Cup car. So
that's
great.
Awesome
group of guys, all blue collar, hardworking folks. And just glad to have them on board. And like I said, we're going to go see if we get some good finishes.
Yeah, that's our kind of people, our kind of racing. So want to thank you again for being on Lap Traffic, Christopher, Jimmy, Jack, Yaley, for being on the show. JJ Yaley, best of luck to you. Hope to see you at Eldora, and you're welcome anytime, buddy. Thanks
all
for
right.
being on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Wow. Dude. I learned so much in 30 minutes there. It's crazy, man.
You know, and what's so cool, like I said, literally, man, like I've been following him like since the 90s. You know, this guy was – he just massacred everybody on short tracks.
Yeah. No, that's
and
sick.
So, and I know what JJ stands for now.
That was fun. That was a cool story.
It was.
So, very cool. Hopefully we get to see him out at Eldora.
Yeah.
And before we're rolling.
We're going to see some other people.
Oh, we're going to see some other people.
At Eldora.
We're going to see the PETM podcast, which, dude, that was so much fun last week. I laughed so hard. That was a blast. We had fun on their show, and I think that's something. I know we're going to try to do something at Eldora, four of us. And
we're going to have a special guest there, too.
It's a good possibility.
Or two. Yeah.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. And we had a blast on their show. And I think that's something we're going to try to do a little more often with those guys, because we get along great with each other. And I know most of our listeners listen to theirs and vice versa. So yeah. Very cool.
Good.
Very cool.
People.
Yes.
Good people.
Very good people.
I'm excited about this.
Yes, sir. All right. You want to roll through some stuff here,
Let's
I suppose?
Do it, man. Let's
All right.
Get it kicked off.
Truck race, baby. Kentucky. Christopher Bell. Again. Victory lane.
I'm telling you, he is bad fast.
You know, I'm not going to lie. So they ran that truck race Thursday night. It was supposed to start green flag like 7:30. Rain didn't go off till 10:30. I think I made it through about the first stage before I passed out. Did you make it?
I made it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know what's funny, though? So, like, whatever. Like, I sat down, you know, let's have a couple beers and let's, you know, we get ready to watch it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just sat there and watched the whole thing while during the rain delay. And I got
ran out of beer.
No, I didn't. I was good, but I didn't run out of beer. But I'll tell you what, when I got up, you know, when the race was over, and I went outside, man, it was drunk as hell outside.
I bet it was.
Really drunk out there.
Yeah, yeah. You were standing still. Shit was spinning.
Everything was fine when I sat down. I stood up, went outside. It was drunk as shit. I'm not lying, man.
Oh, that's funny.
But no, it's a good race.
And we're going to be, there's going to be some drunk outside next week, too, let me tell you. So, Tony, real quick, 10 truck races. Christopher Bell has won three of them.
Yep.
And that's with racing against the likes of Kyle Busch, Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter. Boy's getting the job done out there.
Again, he's bad fast.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Yes,
all right.
He is.
So the trucks, Tony, we've talked about it. I mean, it's here. Like, literally, a week from now, we're going to be drunk.
Exactly.
We're going to be drunk, probably just getting ready to sit in for the big block modifieds.
Pizza burgers. Yinglings.
Beer. Oh,
yeah.
All listeners. Like,
oh, yeah.
Dude,
we can't wait to meet everybody.
We cannot wait. We got a sound system ready to bring with us. We're going to crank tunes.
We're using the term sound system loosely.
Loosely.
But you'll be able to hear us.
Yes. So. Yes.
And honestly, if anybody's going to be there listening, stop by. Tweet us, whatever. DM us, whatever. Find us.
We will post a picture of where we're at. Yeah. We're not going to be hard. We're going to be in the Northside Campground, not hard to find. You'll hear and see a bunch of people, and we'll tweet out pictures and where we're at next week. We'll have koozies, shirts, the whole nine yards. And if you need a beer, we'll have one of those too for you. So please make sure you come, stop by, say hi to us, the PETM. It's going to be an event. Yep. It's going to be stuff you're going to tell your grandkids about. So
you got a favorite at Eldora?
Ooh, you know what? Wow, that's a good question. I like Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter. I mean, the guys that have wheeled the dirt truck race before, you know, and Rico, he's going to be running.
You can't
count him out.
Yep.
You know, even though he hasn't run a truck all year. I would not count him out. He knows how to wheel around that track.
And the guy that was just, you know, we just talked to, Dunn, he's turned a few laps in dirt.
Yes.
Granted, learning curve in the truck, but I think his learning curve is going to be much shorter than most.
Yes, right?
So Mr. J.J. Yaley,
I think
might
he'll
be somebody to keep an
just
eye on.
Fine.
He might put on a little display for everybody, but I'm
if he gets to run a big block, dude, I'd watch out for him. I can't wait. You know, one thing I meant to ask him and wanted to ask him was because it's a dirt track, you know, and they run the heat races for the truck, which is not something that's common for them. I wonder if that might give him an advantage. He's used to that type
He's
of
totally used
qualifying
to that kind of
style,
stuff. Yeah.
You know. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go with my favorite.
Yes.
Is going to be Christopher Bell.
I mean,
he's fast.
He's won there too before.
And he
so
has.
Yeah.
And he gave. Honestly, man, he gave Kyle Larson everything he could handle last year. I mean, Kyle Larson's mirror was full all night long of Christopher Bell.
Kyle Larson last year, I mean, he was a lap down, cut a tire, something like that, and came back. And
That was a clinic, man. I mean, he just really put on a display like wow, you know.
So, yep.
But Christopher Bell was right there.
Hell yeah.
So it's going to be hard to bet against him. But, man, it should be a good time.
Yeah,
so
make sure you are following us on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Yeah. Come say hi to us if you're going to be at Eldora.
Yeah.
All right. Over to the Xfinity race at Kentucky.
Yep.
Apparently it was the Cup Show Part 1. Eric Jones, Stage 1. Ryan Blaney, Stage 2. Kyle Busch, the race winner there.
And then what, the top five? Top what?
Top six.
Come on.
Yeah, Kyle Busch, Blaney Jones, Harvick, Dylan, Logano, then rookie William Byron. Like
as far
as I'm concerned,
he won the race.
He won the race. Finished.
Give him the checkered flag and let him go around the track because he won it.
Tony, Kyle Busch was on a mission not to only become the first driver to win two races on the same day, but also from the pole. And he was well on his way to doing that. He he was on a mission. He wanted to do that.
Yeah, and you know, Ryan Blaney was coming fast. He was really trying. He got I think he got caught speeding on a pit road.
Oh, did he really?
Happened.
And still finished second. That's not
and
bad.
He finished second. Yeah. He fought back hard, you know. Yeah. So I got a hats off to him, but you know, I still, you know, it kind of takes away some of the shine when, you know, William Byron and Justin Allgaier and Daniel Hemric and Ty Reddick and Cole Custer, who we're going to have on the show, by the way. Those are the top. Yes. That's your real top five.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys were right there in it, but you didn't hear about it.
No.
Because you're too busy watching the guys that you're going to see
on Sunday
right?
Tony, I was surprised. I actually didn't get to see much of the – well, I had to watch the Xfinity race because it was supposed to run Friday night. And real quick, they called that race and said, we're going to run it Saturday, which I was surprised they did that with how long they waited and ran the trucks at 10:30 on Thursday night. I was surprised they didn't let it play out. I didn't see the radar. I assume it must have been planning on raining for a while there. But
Well, did you see some of the pictures? Well, I mean, they're like flooded there. I mean, it was
Was it really? No, I didn't. I did not. I missed that. Tony, three Xfinity regulars in the standings have wins, and rookie William Byron has two of these wins.
Yep.
Dude, a rookie is going to have a legit shot at winning the Xfinity championship.
Legit shot.
Like, I'm not going to be surprised if it happens at this point.
No, I mean, the guy, William Byron, is man, he's doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
I think everybody's trying to go, well, he's still a rookie, you know, whatever, he's having some success, but he keeps checking them off, man.
Getting the job done.
Yeah, he's winning and winning and, you know, he's up front all of the time. And at some point when you go, like, the guy's legit.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, you know what I mean? So I know he's young.
Yep.
He hasn't run a lot of races, but,
no.
I mean, results are hard to argue with.
Hell yeah.
He's doing well.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Elliott Sadler, William Byron, Justin Allgaier, Daniel Hemric, Brandon Poole, and Cole Custer.
Yes, sir.
Those are the guys in the standings right now.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Xfinity's New Hampshire?
Yeah, New Hampshire. That should be a good one. Yeah.
Want to hit up some social media?
I do, sir. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Facebook, The Lab Traffic Podcast. Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Check us out on iTunes or Podbean, The Lab Traffic Podcast. Subscribe. Leave some comments on iTunes. That would be cool. We have our winner from our 10,000 download giveaway that we did before we recorded the show. Mike Rizzo, a hometown guy from the Detroit area, Macomb County, actually.
Rizzo.
My old stomping grounds, actually.
Yeah, it is.
We will get that out. Congrats. And very excited. We'll have something again in a couple weeks here.
We'll come
wait
up with
till,
a few other things. Sure.
We get back from Eldora, and we'll come up with something for mid-August or something like that. Some shout outs to some new followers. We got a lot of them over the last 2 weeks with being off. Big thanks to Natalie Decker for sharing some stuff out there that helped a lot. And, we appreciate, real quick side note, you know, we tried that whole, Decker on Ellen thing, right?
Yeah.
I literally went on Ellen's thing and, you know, they have, if you want to suggest a guest or something like that, dude, I typed up a thing and submitted it. You know, no one said anything, but
yeah, I must've retweeted that thing 15,
I know,
times.
Right?
I mean,
totally.
She's so cool. And
that
I
was
really,
a lot of fun.
I, you know, wish good things.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Natalie. So to some new Facebook followers, Mark Pryor from Hartford, Vermont, Justin Schultz from Rio, Wisconsin. Tony, do you know where Rio, Wisconsin is? No. Shane Rogers from Dyer, Indiana, and Clayton Condry from Pittsboro, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, welcome.
Keep in touch. Over to Twitter. Tony, we got a lot of new Michigan followers, which is cool. So most of these are, I picked some since we're a Detroit podcast, right?
But you know what's funny about that is because we look at, you know, where our fan base is, we can see some of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, nothing in Michigan.
Not because, a lot,
Well, Brandon has one friend, and he's, you know, and I have one friend, and we're looking at each other, you know, but it's kind of weird. Like, we're finally getting, like, some Michigan fans.
Yeah, which is cool.
But it's kind of weird, like, you know.
Yeah. 88 Spartan fan at JD Lyons 888 from the Mitten. Caitlin Seam at Caitlin Seam, big Detroit sports fan and motorsports fan. Tom Nielsen at, I love this, Tony, ready for this, at Big Homer Fan from Indiana.
Homer Simpson?
Yeah. No. Tim Link at Link 32329 from Illinois, big Junior fan, and Noah Sweet from Grass Lake, which is not too far from our home track. That's MIS, right.
MIS,
and the Stopping Ground. We so got, very cool.
And we got more T-shirts and stuff like that coming online. Yes. We got it's growing.
It's growing. Yeah, we have
both in business and selection. And lots of things.
We've got a new T-shirt, Tony, that's out there. We got a big chest logo and a small pocket size logo out there. Out the door, $20. It's a $15 shirt with shipping and all that. It should come to $19 and change. So if you want to get a shirt, help support the show and help spread word about it. And it's actually a cool shirt, I think. Yeah, and there's a bunch of stuff out there, but that's out there. It's new, and as new stuff comes available for us to be able to offer, we will definitely do that.
And to be clear, I mean, we're not, this is not a for profit deal.
No,
by any stretch of the imagination. Truthfully, it's just, you know, if we can buy some better equipment. Better sound stuff,
get more free stuff for you guys in the process.
Yeah, truthfully, that's what we do. Just, honest to God, we get like $62 check, and we go spend $85 on stuff to give stuff. You guys.
Hell yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Anyways, whatever.
So Tony, all right, so we mailed out maybe 30 sets of stickers and koozies. Yeah. All right. And people have been tweeting pictures of their beers and stuff their stickers on their toolbox, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So here's a funny story about this. So I went to the post office when I go to mail these. I'm like, how much postage do I need to put on these? And they're feeling it, and they're like, well, it's not a letter. So it's a package, so you need to put 6 stamps on this. I'm like, 6 stamps to mail? You got to be kidding me. So then I go back, and I wrap it in paper, and I take it, and I said, how much now? And they go, 1 stamp. I'm like, all right, cool, 1 stamp.
Okay.
Put a stamp on it. Tony, people were tweeting us. They had to pay the post office like 49 cents to pick this up. I felt so bad for people.
Bunch of dicks, man. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
but you know, here's the thing. I'm happy to pay them back their 49 cents, but I'm going to have to buy a 52 cent stamp or something to buy you the bitch.
One guy said he'll be at Eldora. We owe him the beer.
All right, that's done.
And that's fair. Yes.
Done and done.
So in the next batch, I'll make sure to put 2 stamps. So if you want a sticker, some stickers, and a koozie, go to the website, the Lap Traffic Podcast. Fill out the contact us page with your address, and we'll get one out to you in our next batch. Let's see what else. I've got some new pictures up from MIS. If you haven't checked those out, those are up there.
We got some new stuff mailed into us too. We have a Natalie Decker.
Yes.
Autograph. Did she send that in?
No.
Somebody else did. Actually.
I want to say URFI sent that in.
Nice.
If I recall correctly.
We really like getting mail.
It's so cool. It's like Christmas.
We've got to do some like rearranging of the man cave and have like a wall of fame.
Yes,
stuff.
We got to do. I've got everything sitting down.
Monopoly
here.
Game of NASCAR. We've got all kinds of crazy stuff. And if you want to send us anything, you can do it. By sending it to the Lap Traffic Podcast at Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072.
Yes, sir. Tony, you ready to talk some fantasy?
I am.
All right, let's do it. So, Tony, 5 people picked Martin Truex Jr., Chad for the win, Cody, SHR41, Steve Sr., No El Camino, Chris Coble, and my favorite Tito's drinking friend, Stacy, all picked Martin Truex Jr. Congrats on that, guys.
Nice job.
I finally got 10 points. And, of course, so did half the league, so I didn't get to do anything with it. A shakeup at the top, though. Aaron only got 5 points with his pick of Blaney and is now joined by Cody and Rich, who picked the 78 and got a good jump. So now there's a 3-way tie for first with 125 points. Colby is in second with 120. Wes, Chris Coble are tied for third with 115. Mick and our resident crew chief Tony are tied for fourth with 100. And Aussie John wraps out the top 5 with 105.
Yep.
So
fuel save mode.
Hell yeah.
Fuel safe. Wait.
Wait for it.
Fuel safe.
Tony, this was the first week I think you and I actually both scored 10 points.
And did we beat PETM?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, God. Okay.
Rush me, boy. Don't rush me. We'll get to that.
It was important to me.
All right, Tony, you ready to talk some cup?
Yep, let's do it.
Tony, so stage 1, Martin Truex Jr. Stage 2, Martin Truex Jr. And the winner, Martin Truex Jr. Tony, this guy's out of control these stage wins, man.
He is really fast,
Tony,
man. That car is killer.
He has 13 stage wins. Do you know what the closest is behind him?
No.
Kyle Busch with 4. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah, like, that's unbelievable. And you know, you've mentioned it before. You know, this is a second win. It feels like he never could close it out, though, because it was just like, oh, stage, never won. Closed it out second time. I mean, this,
you
he
know,
is.
Cole Pearn, congratulations, man.
Oh, yeah.
Way to close it out, because, man, that car's fast.
Yeah.
And you know what's cool? I think about this. So everybody, you know, is in the Charlotte, North Carolina area by and large, right?
Yeah.
All the cup teams, all the, you know, whatever. These guys are in Denver, right?
Yep.
I mean, they're out there doing their own thing. Some special mountain air. I don't know what's going on out there. I heard that's legal now in Colorado. Yeah, right. I'm not sure, but they're doing something really, really right.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, you got to wonder when someone's going to stumble onto whatever it is that they've hit on, because, boy, they've hit on something big.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Did you see the picture NASCAR Chasm tweeted out of the coach standing in front of the window holding the sign that said something about, like, can we stop sending the good stuff to Colorado,
please?
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, it was a clinic, basically. You know, and the funny thing is Kyle Busch led 112 laps, but that's kind of gone under the radar with the domination.
Man, how tired has he got to be, man, after he won the Xfinity race?
Yeah.
And your normal stuff, you got to do your press obligations, you got to do all of those things, and then he's got to get ready for the, you know,
well,
to
drive. It's one thing to finish second and then go do that. It's another thing to win and then go do that stuff.
I mean, you've only got a couple hours in between, and truthfully, you know, that's
it's pushing it.
Physically, that's a lot.
I wonder, at what point does it become a potential health and safety concern in terms of just your cognizance to be able to do that?
I mean, and not even kind of kidding, this went through my mind is truthfully, like, when you're done, like, I would probably go to the medic, you know, right to the infield care center and, like, just hit me with hit me with an IV.
Absolutely. It's not a crazy comment by any means.
Yeah.
Tony, how about Kyle Larson starting 40th, finished second, moved from the back to the front like three times?
That's what he does.
If they had a few more laps, I don't know, he might have been able to wheel in.
He's
in
about the
on
only
restart.
One, but yeah, he was pretty good.
Tony, nice run for Darrell Wallace.
Yeah,
finished
Bubba
11th.
Did well.
Tony, he's ran four races at Pocono, or he's won four races. Pocono finished 26th, Michigan 19th. Daytona 15th, Kentucky 11th. Average finish at 18th, which is better than I expected.
Yeah, that is better. I mean, that car is probably, that's about a 20th place car-ish.
Yeah.
And he's done probably better, than expected. And I thought he did, he's done a good job. I understand Mr. Almirola is...
He tested today, and they're expecting results back on Wednesday in terms of being able to give an update is the last I heard.
Yeah.
Tony, that last caution, I thought the 78 was a sitting duck. He had such a lead that he was going to pass pit road well before anybody else had to make the decision of whether or not to come down, and it was do the opposite. You know, he literally, because of the lead he had, you know, I was surprised that he was able to hold off that field there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's boy, did he have a lead, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it. I that's all you can say, man, is they laid a whooping on him.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You know, what else can you say, right?
Yep. Tony, at the rate Truex is going, I'm basically going to pen him in going to the final four at Homestead. No questions asked. He's got 28 playoff points that's going to carry over, and that's right now, and we still got races to go. He very well could have a full race worth of points going into this thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, don't show up.
Yeah, like he literally could sit out Talladega and maybe be okay.
Take the week off and...
Yeah, yep.
I mean, hey, good for them, man.
Yeah.
They've done a great job.
Yeah.
So.
On to New Hampshire next week.
Yeah, I like New Hampshire.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I like that track. So
yeah,
usually mixes it up a little bit, a little different guys, you know, a little different driving style, a little flatter track, a little different. So I'm looking forward to this race.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else there, sir?
No, just silly season is. I think this is going to be one of the best silly seasons we've had, and
it's going to be out of control. Tony, you and I joked about that when we started this whole podcast. Like, that's what got us going in January. And, you know, I'm literally, the stuff that's come out, you know, mid-July here, it's nuts. Tony, news broke earlier last week. Matt Kenseth does not have plans to return to the number 20 next year.
Yeah.
You found that ill-handled.
Well, right. Well, yeah, right. It was, yeah. Come on. I mean, it's Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, you can't do this better than that. You can't hold a press conference and say, "All right, Matt's stepping down. Eric Jones is coming in." You can't. You know, they stumbled, bumbled, fell over it, kicked it. You know, and now it was announced today Eric Jones is going to be in the 20 car.
Yeah.
And like I said to you, wow, what a surprise. Like, in other news, water is wet and the sun is hot. Film
right.
At 11.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is not a big surprise.
No.
Right? Like, we all knew Eric Jones was coming in, but Mr. Kenseth is pretty good. I got to believe he's landing somewhere decent, but I just don't know where that is.
Well, and so that's my question. All right. So Eric Jones moves in. So. Furniture Row said earlier this week that they don't know what's going to happen with 2008. They're going to have the 78, but they don't know about the 77.
They have been totally noncommittal
about
running two cars.
So, all right, you're right. So, Matt Kenseth, he's going to get a ride somewhere.
You got to believe it.
Is it to a team as, a one-off change of scenery? Let's make one last run at it for a season or two. Does it go to a team that's got maybe some younger drivers to be that veteran shoulder? Like, you know, the thing that came to my mind is I really don't think Danica Patrick's coming back to Stewart Haas. All right. He could bring sponsorship dollars in. He could really maybe help Stewart Haas Racing having four full drivers that are capable of going out on any given weekend and winning. But on the same token, like you mentioned it last week, Stewart Haas's team as a whole is not the youngest group out there.
The average age is way up.
Yeah, and so does it make sense for them to bring Matt Kenseth in? So from that regard, I'm thinking maybe not. But
oh, man, he's not. Here's the thing, man. I mean, he's still like a top of the. You know, he's not an also ran.
No,
you know,
no.
He is. He's still a. In my opinion, anyways, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, no, it's like where he's going to end up somewhere, but I can't put my finger on where.
This has been crazy.
It's only begun.
From sponsors. So think about this: sponsorships, talk of manufacturer,
new manufacturers. Yeah,
right.
Yep.
The 88 seat.
Well, the 5 seat. I mean, there's talk Casey Kane may not run his 2018 at Hendrick.
These
are
big.
Huge.
Right?
You know, and I think it's ironic a little bit in that, you know, baseball's got their All-Star weekend going on or All-Star game going on, I think, tonight, right?
Yeah.
You know, so the trade deadline's approaching there, buying and selling, trading teams, trading seats, leasing a player kind of thing. I wonder if we may see just a lot of switches next year. Like, all right, maybe Casey Kane goes to Joe. I don't think he's going to Joe Gibbs, but that's
shuffling,
you know, change of scenery might help some of these guys a little bit just
sometimes. It really does.
Re-trigger the fire a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it really does. Crazy.
Tony, do you see a comment Dale Jr. made that he's a little upset with how much talk and attention NASCAR is giving him from a coverage perspective? Doesn't want fans to be bitter towards the situation. He doesn't want other drivers to be bitter towards it or anything like that. I mean, that's just humble Dale Jr.
And he's a selfless guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want the attention, doesn't need the attention, appreciates it,
sure.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah,
no,
he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to be a distraction and take away from anything. And that just speaks volume about who Jr. is.
Absolutely. Yep. Tony, Keselowski made some comments when he got released from the care center at the race on Sunday, Saturday. What do you think about that? In his comments of, I can't believe with all the technology and all this that NASCAR doesn't have a better car.
He's right. Heat of the moment thing.
Sure.
And he did go back and clarify some of it.
Yep.
Wrong timing.
Sure.
You know,
right.
Wrong timing, but
yep.
Heat of the moment. I get it. Truth of the matter is, you know, it's an aero car, and if you have better aero or if you do aero side draft, then, you know, that's how you go. So when you can really make up spots, he's right. It's on a restart. So on a restart, you have to set it on kill and go in to that first corner at 150% and close your eyes and turn the wheel and hope you come out on the other end. That's the only way you can pass cars, isn't it?
It's like turbo mode on an arcade racing game. You only get three boosts for the whole race. Yeah. Choose wisely.
Yeah, right. But I mean, that's the only time, you know. So that, I think that's his point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they, you know, I think they could do better.
Yeah,
I really do. And they're always trying. I'm not knocking NASCAR on that. I mean, the cars are really really safe. You know, so I like all that stuff. But he's right. I mean, when you know, you can only really only pass people. You know, that's your real opportunity is in the pits or, you know, restarts. So I understand it. You know, he instantly regretted it. You know, he did. Because, you know what, because he's a huge advocate, too. He's like Junior. You know, he loves the sport. He cares about the sport. He's, you know, he's definitely into it. But, it happens.
So you mentioned it. NASCAR has admitted they are pursuing new manufacturers. Yep. Who would Tony want to see?
You know, I'm a Mopar guy, so I want to see Dodge back.
Okay.
You know, I really do.
Okay.
But,
I don't have. I joked on Twitter. I said Pontiac.
Yeah.
I mean, as for me, just if you're gonna make the sport better, you know,
I couldn't care. And if it was Volkswagen, I don't care, man. I really don't.
Yeah.
If it's bringing more resources, more teams, more racers, you know, to the track, that's what I'm about.
Yep.
I really don't care.
Yeah. Tony, so we had a rare Cup Xfinity doubleheader on Saturday. And our friend Kevin Likas sent in asking our thoughts about running Cup Xfinity doubleheaders as a way to reduce Cup guys maybe running double duty a little bit. And I put a poll out there, which, Tony, was actually our most successful poll. We got over 150 responses.
Oh, wow.
And 54% said they'd like a truck Xfinity doubleheader. 30% said Xfinity Cup and 16 said neither. Tony, I think a lot of our fans, they're diehards. I think they would like to see that truck Xfinity doubleheader just because of the racing. I mean,
the
on-track racing for truck is just phenomenal.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it just doesn't get the coverage, you know. So I think that would be really cool.
I am all for that. I'd even go, like I said, I'd even go a step further. I'd go like ARCA truck and then Xfinity
Cup
or that'd something
cool.
like that, or K&N, you know, West or something like that, run with the trucks. But no, I'd be all about that.
It's a long day at the track for the fans, but you know, it's kind of long anyways. I mean, the gate, people start getting there and walking around.
You made the trip.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Tony, you ready to go to work?
Ready to go to work.
Let's do it. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the lap traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right, it's time for another edition. I've lost count of how many times we've done this, so I've stopped putting it in there.
Lots
but it's a lot of Crew Chief Corners, and we got another one here for you as well. Tony, a lot of people were complaining about the race being a snooze fest, which kind of was a little bit. I get that. The restarts were good, but Tony, so were the tires. Tony, were the tires too good that the 78 was able to hold off the field on a last restart to win the race?
You know, a tough question, man. And again, you know, I've talked about it before. Like Goodyear is like damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
You know, all the tires sucked here. Oh man, now this week they put a tire so good that it doesn't fall off. You, there's no advantage of, you know, of changing tires.
Yeah.
Tough question. But here's a bigger thing. This is kind of an unknown thing. Is even if they test there, new track, lots of rain. You know, what do you do? I mean, if you're Goodyear, what do? You bring a good, hard tire that lasts a long time.
Yeah.
And so they played it safe.
Yeah.
I mean, what do? Go the opposite way, and you're risking blowout spins, you know, things of that nature. I don't do this very often, but I'm giving Goodyear the gold star.
I think they did
a good job.
You know where I'd like to see a tire like this maybe is at a track like Atlanta.
I agree.
I think a tire like they brought on that surface would be awesome.
Yep.
Atlanta.
I agree. And but like I said, I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, if you're Goodyear, what the hell do you do?
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, right. So now they're getting criticized because the tire's too good.
I mean, right. Yeah. Hey, Kyle Busch didn't say anything about it though this week.
He did not. Yeah.
Ah,
so that was good.
That was good.
Thanks for the question, because as always, it's That's a good question. And, you know, and from the crew chief corner side, I mean, I feel like I almost got an answer to our battery thing.
We came real.
Compliments of Mr. J.J. Yaley.
That was
so
cool.
That was cool. That was really awesome.
Tony, ready for Lucky Dog?
Lucky Dogs.
Tony, who's your lucky dog of the race?
My lucky dog is the number 18 team for only having one lug nut loose.
Ooh, does that mean that means their crew chief will be there?
To come back.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
good
I
deal.
Did, man. I blocked Joe Gibbs' number even though I wasn't taking none of those calls.
Tony, I'm giving my lucky dog to the 78. I mean, tires are no to be able to hold off the field with being a sitting duck incredible on top of the only driver to win both stages and the race and to do it twice. Like we were talking before the show, if you were to ask me before the season who I thought would have had the potential of winning both stages in the race, it was going to be Jimmy Johnson or Kyle Busch would have been the first two that I would have come up with. And Martin Truex, man, he's class of the field right now.
Yeah, he really is. There's no denying it.
Who are you putting a lap down, sir?
Joe Gibbs Racing.
They
handled that. That was bad.
Nice.
They really screwed that up,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Especially with the guy like, I mean, Matt Kenseth, you know.
Class act guy.
Class
veteran.
Act guy. Yep. Champion. Yep. You know, I think I don't know how you screw that up worse, but
yeah,
they tried.
Yep. Tony, I am putting cancer a lap down in honor of Sherry Pollock's cancer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hopefully she's I know she had surgery and all that and
released.
Out released and all that. It's something that's affected everybody. Everyone knows somebody with it.
I
you
just
know?
Found out this
yeah.
week. Right.
Yeah. yeah. Right. Yeah. Cancer is my lap down.
Yeah.
You ready for some listener picks, sir?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hugh at Bucky 515's lucky dog is Big Dog Truex, and his lap down is the rain. Mick at GoDucks 42 _ Mick's lucky dog is Truex for a beat down on everybody, and his lap down is Truex for stinking up the show.
Damned if you do, damned
right?
if you don't.
Linda at RacingGal _FL's lucky dog is Kyle Larson for starting 40th and finishing second with a speeding penalty. He did, man, he was flying through that track.
Yes, he was.
Lap down, whoever threw the water bottle on the track.
Yeah.
Good call on
There's
that.
There's always one of those.
Yeah.
Man.
Yep.
You know, Jack Roush threw his hat out
on
Michigan. Away at Michigan. I mean,
Colby at KGEE61's lucky dog is Cole Pern. Dude is a genius.
He ain't bad.
Lap down, Goodyear for dropping the ball on tires, not falling off after 50 laps.
Yeah, he might be right there.
Right.
It's just hard.
Yeah. Rich at URFWI's lucky dog is Danica. No wrecks in a top 15.
She's actually been putting together a few things here.
Yeah. Lap down, mile and a half tracks that were built after 1990. Let's turn them into road courses.
And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog is NASCAR for not throwing cautions when they weren't needed.
Yep.
And lap down, Joe Gibbs Racing for not saying anything about Kenseth.
Oh, Jeff, you're a genius.
You're right. Stuart at Stu Salaka, lucky dog Larson going through the field twice. Lap down, tires for not falling off and letting old tires win the race. Kevin Leekus, lucky dog, is the Lap Traffic and the PETM podcast for a hell of a show last week.
That was good.
I will agree with that one 100%. Lap down, once again, to the 18 tire changer for loose lug nuts. And the NASCAR Foundation is definitely thanking Joe Gibbs Racing for their consistent donations.
For their, copious.
Yes, yes.
You know what's cool about this section of the show, guys? I don't get to see this before. Like I'm reading it like with Brandon.
Well, you could.
So
you just don't read your email.
I don't get emails. I don't know how to get to the.
No, I send you
stuff.
The show sheet about.
You sent me the show sheet like an hour ago.
Today was bad. Today was bad.
Nine MFing pages long. Yeah. Like. You know, let me take the afternoon off so I can read it.
I'm drawing a blank on who sent it over, asked how long the show page was today. And I said, you know, it's another 8 pages. But to clarify, there's pictures and images of the race results. Like, it's not all types. I said maybe four is.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, to write down all that took up half a page right
it
there,
did.
You know.
It did.
But what I like about it is our way of being able to get interaction from the listeners
on the
podcast.
I absolutely love it.
No,
it's cool. But like, I literally, like, I get this,
you come
you know,
in surprise
this afternoon
to it.
And,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, like, I'm reading some of this for the first time, so it is pretty cool.
It is cool. I love it. I was just giving you shit there.
Yeah,
too.
It's okay. It's well deserved, but I like reading some of their comments.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Make sure you keep sending them in.
Yeah.
Tony, so the odds this week, a little different because we didn't have our show. I tweeted them out a day or so before the race, and the odds I picked were the picks of yours and mine in the PETM podcast. I set odds for those four drivers going into Kentucky. So I put Kyle Busch at plus 450. He came in at plus 350. Chase Elliott, I put at plus 750, came in at plus 1,200. Blaney, I put at 1,000, came in at plus 1,200. Clint Bowyer, I put at 1,500. I was a little off on that one. He came in at plus 45. And I set, as a bonus pick, I put Brad Keselowski at plus 600. He came in at plus 750. Going into New Hampshire, Tony, Jimmy Johnson hasn't won here since 2010. He finished dead last at Kentucky. I'm calling for a rebound from the 48 team. I'm putting him at plus 500. Kevin Harvick, our recent winner at New Hampshire, I'm putting him at plus 750. Matt Kenseth won there a few times, and with the news and all that, something tells me that might fuel him up a little bit. I'm putting him at plus 1,000. And Joey Logano, still looking for a win that can count towards the playoffs. I'm putting him at plus 1,200.
That boy needs a win, too.
Yes, sir. All right, now, Tony, over to our picks from last week and the PETM guys.
Yeah.
Tony, you had the 18 of Kyle Busch, who finished fifth. I had Chase Elliott, who finished third. I think that's the first time I've beaten you.
Total of eight.
And Sherwin over at the PETM took Ryan Blaney, who finished 10th. And Rusty had Clint Bowyer, who finished 13th. Not bad. That's a hell of a battle. All five of us had top 15. So,
yeah.
So the official record, I believe, is PETM 5, lap traffic 2. Ooh. So Tony, that said, who do you got for New Hampshire?
I'm going with the 20 car.
20 car. Tony, that was who I was going
to
take.
Well, bummer, sucks to be you.
I can't do that because I got to make up ground. All right, you know what? I'm going to take random out of the blue. I'm going to take Denny Hamlin.
Ooh.
I'm going to stick with Joe Gibbs, and we're going to stick it to you.
All right.
See
what the PETM guys do.
Yes,
they'll probably
sir.
Go out on a limb and pick like fucking Truex or something like that.
Right, I know, crazy.
Yeah.
You know. Tony.
I'm saving up, man. I'm telling you, man. I'm totally saving up here.
You know what I think will be fun is if we could do like a live Periscope or something, and the four of us pick drivers for the truck race on Wednesday night.
That.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. A little bonus round
of like
the
it.
Podcast pick'ems. Tony, Eldora.
Eldora.
Leaving here in a few days. We're going to the store this weekend to buy some stuff. I'm loading up Monday morning. I'm going to be out. If anyone's going to be out there Monday, come hang out with me. I'm going out just to chill,
Brandon
drink.
Sitting there by himself.
Hang out.
Him and three security guards.
I will be there. I'm going to have, I'll be set up. We'll be revving to go. Tony, big guest. You mentioned it a little bit ago. July 25th. On the Lap Traffic Podcast, Stuart Haas Racing Xfinity driver Cole Custer is going to be on the show.
I can't wait.
That's going to be fun.
You talk about guys that are bad fast, man.
Yeah.
This guy's up and coming real fast. Stuart
Absolutely.
Haas,
absolutely.
Car. And we have, you know, there still may be some more additions to that show, too.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
Cole Custer. That's awesome.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Want to hit social media again?
Yes, sir. Check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Download on iTunes or Podbean. Search NASCAR. You'll find us right there. Leave us some comments. If you're going to Eldora, hit us up on Twitter. We want to come see you.
Yeah, and we absolutely, we're going to be there all week. So during that event, big thanks again to J.J. Yaley. For being on the show.
That was fun.
So, man, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned a lot.
I did learn a lot. That
was
awesome.
And, of course, big thanks to the PETM guys for having us on last week. That was new for us.
Yeah, that was cool.
Being a guest was pretty cool. So stay tuned on Twitter. If you're going to be at Eldora, make sure you hunt us down. Come and say hi Tuesday and Wednesday. And make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya.